10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. General Motors and Ford still sell more cars than Toyota, but the Japanese giant is nipping at their heels. The big three U.S. automakers saw sales slip again last month, while Toyota and Honda increased. At Automotive News, editor and publisher Keith Crane says the reason Japanese cars are selling so well...
They consider them good value. They consider them highly reliable. They like them.
One reason for the popularity of Honda and Toyota, the price of gasoline. They get good mileage. They're tops on the green list.
Honda and Toyota finished at the top, says Don McKenzie, far above American car makers.
Bring up the rear, Ford grabbed sixth. GM was seventh, and Daimler Chrysler was dead last.
But the Union of Concerned Scientists David Friedman says the Supreme Court has empowered the EPA to crack down on auto emissions.
Given this ruling, it is very likely that federal or state efforts will succeed in requiring automakers to put technology to work to cut global warming pollution.
The group says consumers should look for cars with low emissions and high fuel economy. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The annual hurricane forecast predicts a year busier than the mean. CBS's Mark Strassman.
Dr. Bill Gray is probably America's best-known forecaster. He says 9 hurricanes this summer, 5 of them major hurricanes, and if you're living somewhere on the Gulf Coast or the Atlantic coast of the United States, there's a 74% chance that a major hurricane is going to strike.
The curfew in Baghdad is being dialed back by 2 hours. The Iraqi government says it's because the streets of the city are quieter and safer since the new strategy of taking and holding neighborhoods is working. In Washington, President Bush said Democrats on Capitol Hill need to remember they don't command the troops and they don't set the strategy.
Running out of time and patience, President Bush again blasted the Democratic Congress for not sending him a bill he can sign. He said they know he'll veto any Iraq funding bill with a timetable and deadline for U.S. withdrawal. If Congress doesn't act, he said the additional troops he's deploying to secure Baghdad won't get there on schedule.
Turning down the heat are Britain and Iran now. Prime Minister Tony Blair calling for negotiations to end the dispute over the capture by Iran's Navy of 15 British sailors and Marines claiming trespass. And 10 Downing Street says there have been further diplomatic contacts in that direction. Gunplay in the main entrance of the CNN Center in Atlanta, not at the CNN studios, but near enough to have them briefly evacuated until police got everything sorted out.
I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. We got to get out of here.
That's a witness, of course. Witnesses say a man shot a woman in the face and was then shot by security guards. She is dead. He's in critical condition at Grady Hospital. On Wall Street, the Dow soared up nearly 128 points today on the money. The Nasdaq gained 28 points. And oil prices, $64.47 a barrel, down $1.47. This is CBS News.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
They were a family in search of opportunity when they went west on the Oregon Trail in 1843. They were threatened by lightning, wind, and river crossings. They were overjoyed upon reaching Oregon and building their new home. They are waiting to be found.
Meet your ancestors. Learn their stories. Search millions of records and family trees at Ancestry.com and start your journey of discovery today.
The power of words never more important than on a food label.
The reason cell phones are required to be turned off when an airplane is in the air, to avoid interfering with cellular network systems on the ground. But interested parties like phone companies asked, is this really necessary? FCC says there's insufficient technical information on that question. Until there is, the rules stay. And these stay off. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
One very lucky 9-year-old boy lives in Tipton, Indiana. He was with some friends playing around a gravel bin when one of them evidently pushed the wrong button and the conveyor started running. The boy was buried under rocks in a finger snap or two. Employees shut it down. They looked inside and all they could see was a little hand reaching out. It took a while, but they got him out. He kept sliding deeper and deeper and deeper. They kept digging like crazy. And he's okay. No injuries. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Lost and found. How may I help you?
Well, I seem to be lost. I was hoping you could find me.
Find you? You're joking, right?
No, really.
Well, I'm sorry. This is Lost and Found, not Search and Rescue. What you need is a Garmin Nuvi GPS.
A Nuvi?
Yeah. You'd have all the street maps. You could look up addresses, services, you name it. Then follow the voice prompts right to the door.
Continue southeast to destination.
Gosh, I wish I had a Garmin right now.
So do I. Bye now.
Garmin, the leader in navigation. We'll take you there.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Is orange juice part of your morning routine? I switched to Welch's 100% grape juice because it has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. And you may have heard a diet naturally rich in antioxidants is good for you. Not only does drinking Welch's 100% grape juice help promote a healthy heart, but emerging research suggests it may help to protect memory and brain health as well. And it's nice to know Welch's is made from Concord grapes grown right here in America by Welch's farmer owners. So drink Welch's 100% grape juice for an unmistakably delicious way to add antioxidants to your diet. This is Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
Collins. Well, something was supposed to happen here, friends. Here it is.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion.
Let's try that again.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Technical glitches on the Peter B. Collins Show are the responsibility of your humble host, Peter B. Collins. Yeah, I run the equipment here, and when it screws up, I got nobody else to blame. We got a great show lined up for you today. I hope you can listen the entire 3 hours. If not, I'll write you a note and excuse you at the proper moment. And at any time, you can participate. This is an interactive radio show, and that means we take your phone calls, and we actually pay for the call. It's a toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. I write the check myself. I just sent it out yesterday, so the service is still engaged. 888-573-8372. You can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. That operates 24/7. Coming up in about a half an hour, we're going to meet Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, the eldest daughter of Robert F. Kennedy. She's written a new book called Failing America's Faithful. And like me, she was raised Catholic. So we're going to compare notes on that and see where she sees the intersection of religion and politics these days. Next hour, Norman Solomon, media critic and author, returns to our program. We're going to talk about John McCain's stroll through Baghdad and just how much of a news bounce he's getting from it. Also, I'm going to ask Norman to comment on Sam Zell's purchase of the Chicago Tribune Company. It turns out that he put down about $300 million to facilitate an $8 billion purchase. I mean, that's almost no money down. And what he's going to do with it? Well, he's a breakup artist, so we'll get some speculation from Norman next hour. Jason Leopold will check in with us from truthout.org. We're going to talk about Gonzalez. He's on his Easter break because the House and Senate are on a break, so it gave him a break in the action, demanding answers to the questions that he's fumbled so far. Also, we'll get an update from Washington, Melanie Sloan at Crew, about some of the issues related to Nevada's Governor Jim Gibbons. He's got some ethical challenges these days. And also, we just learned before we went on the air today that Josh Wolf has been released. You're scratching your head. Josh, who's Josh Wolf? Josh Wolf is a young man from San Francisco, a self-styled part-time journalist. He was rolling video when there was a demonstration in San Francisco's Mission District in 2005, and the prosecutor wants the video. Josh has said no, and he spent over 6 months in a federal penitentiary on a contempt of court citation, and we understand that Josh Wolf is likely to be released today. An individual at the center of that story is Gabriel Myers, and we're expecting to talk with him in the Free Speech Zone coming up toward the end of our show today. Again, my number is 888-5-PETER-B. If you want to check in, 888-573-8372. And to kick off the show today, we welcome Reva Bala to our program. She is from Stratfor, which is a an intelligence service. Reva, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you.
Tell us about Stratfor. Who is it and how does it work?
Well, basically, it's a private intelligence firm, caters to a lot of Fortune 500 companies, and it, a lot of people refer to it as a private CIA. A lot of, you know, former intelligence officials run the company itself, but it just focuses on core geopolitical analysis and specializes in forecasting. So instead of just talking about a certain issue, there's a method to actually telling what's going to happen, you know, weeks from now, months from now, a year from now, so you can make better policy, business decisions, or what have you.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking of a little spring vacation in Iran. You know, Tehran.
Great idea.
Yeah, Tehran's a great city, very cosmopolitan, great food. What's your forecast about Iran? Because, for instance, we've been sharing with our listeners some reporting that comes from Russian military intelligence sources that an attack by the U.S. might occur as soon as this Friday, April 6th.
Yeah, and the rumors are just going crazy over this. And one lesson in anything is if you have the Russians saying that they have American war plans and that an attack is going to happen at 4 a.m. on this date, you can highly bet that it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just you can tell that there's a purpose behind these rumors. And with this whole, the latest incident and the detainment of the 15 British sailors and Marines, obviously tensions are very high. And both the U.S. and Iran are blustering at this moment, and the U.S. wants to make it appear as fearsome as possible. And mm-hmm. generally, when you have tensions this high, the rumors are inevitable. But the rumors don't hurt the U.S. either. The basic thing that the U.S. is going for is you always want to inject that element of surprise, and you want to keep the Iranians off balance because you don't want to keep that confidence too high where the U.S. wouldn't have a real military strategy against Iran. That is the reality in which the U.S. doesn't have a military strategy against Iran. A military option against Iran. There's always a strategy. But, you know, you always kind of want to keep the other side guessing. You don't want to have these overextensions and miscalculations that could result in an attack on your soil. But to the point, no, I don't believe that there's an attack that is coming, and it just does not make any sense if you really look at the issue of what's going on in the U.S.-Iranian negotiations over Iraq.
Well, we have a number of sources for our program, some retired military who have been keeping us abreast of this, and they don't believe the Russian report either, but for different reasons. They take a look at the movement of American ships and personnel, and the belief is that the lineup isn't there for the U.S. to launch this attack at this time. So I approach it with an open mind. Now, you kind of offered a broad dinging of Russian intelligence, and I can understand that. Russia has its own motivations, and actually, you know, some people who cross them get a special polonium cocktail. And so I have no investment in the accuracy of Russian intelligence. However, I would point out that in advance of 9/11, the 9/11 Commission has reported to us that there were 45 to 50 different contacts with the U.S. government from foreign intelligence services, including specifically three or five of those that came from Russian intelligence. So I'm not prepared to just write them off. And so when I heard the report about Operation Bite, I looked at it and said, maybe there's something here.
And sure, you know, not writing off Russian intelligence. The point being, whenever you have something out there that's on every single blog and talking about, you know, the exact time of an operation, it just does not make any sort of strategic military sense to have an operation that would actually be pursued that everybody knows about, you know, just for what it's worth, you know, just the simple fact that it doesn't add up. But, of course, you know, the Russians and the U.S., they talk a lot, and Iran is certainly a hot issue in these talks, but this isn't some, the Russians have their interest in Iran, and they have shown that they can act as the spoiler in the region, and they're trying to demonstrate that even more. And so you can kind of see things playing out very interestingly in Ukraine, for example, where you have the pro-Russian candidate in a battle right now with President Yushchenko. Mm-hmm. And right now it's not looking like Yushchenko is going to get that Western support that he got during the Orange Revolution, because the Russian, with the U.S. so heavily invested in Iraq at this moment, they're not willing to, you know, unsettle the Russians too much at this point. I think that message has been relayed to not touch Ukraine right now. So, mm-hmm.
Well, that's a very interesting point, and I share your concern there. Yushchenko is kind of cornered at this point, and the U.S. is obviously preoccupied in other parts of the world, and also not prepared to add more reasons for Vladimir Putin to be angry at the United States. Now, Reva Bala, tell me whether it comes to a situation like Ukraine or like the U.S. and Iran, do you issue daily briefs to your clients that give, you know, almost like a weather forecast that there's an 80% chance of hostilities breaking out?
I don't know if we'd get down to percentages like that, but yes, of course, we publish daily analyses on the Stratfor website, as well as, you know, individual client assessments and a quarterly forecast and everything of that sort. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So definitely. What is your current forecast for Iran in particular and you know, the next 40 to 60 days?
40 to 60 days. Well, you know, it's interesting. And all the rhetoric you see over the nuclear issue, or say, you know, Nancy Pelosi's visit to Damascus, or, you know, anything related in the region, it all boils down to the U.S.-Iranian talks over Iraq. And that's always been the central issue since the beginning of the war. And if we look back, you know, the Iranians saw enormous opportunity in Iraq. It was the chance to bring down a hostile Sunni regime and establish their Shia Western buffer zone. And the U.S., you know, hasn't been prepared to give the Iranians what they want for obvious reasons. And we've just kind of seen this back and forth where the two sides are trying to get into that real advantageous position, but neither one side is willing to stand down. And so we've kind of seen this tit for tat. And this latest incident with the British sailors is the most recent example of it. So, in other words, you know, the negotiations have gotten to a point where neither side can really achieve its ideal outcome. Mm-hmm. The Iranian ideal outcome would be to have a Iranian-dominated, you know, Shiite-majority government in Iraq that would pursue Iranian interests as a satellite state. That obviously is not working out so well, and if you look at how fractured the Iraqi Shia are, and throughout history, has never really been able to unify it to the extent where it can actually exert power over the minority Sunni population. The Iranians are having trouble in that respect, and of course the U.S. remains a major obstacle to that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, the U.S. isn't getting what it wants out of Iraq. Obviously, things aren't going as planned. They're not able to impose a security solution.
And does Stratfor call Iraq a civil war?
I mean, for what it's worth, of course, I mean, you have the all different forms of fighting. I mean, you have the sectarian clashes.
Let me stop you there, Reva, and we'll pick up after a break here. Reva Bala is our guest from Stratfor, and they're on the web at Stratfor, stratfor.com, if you want to check them out. Got a question or comment? Want a forecast about a certain part of the world? Hey, you can always ask. Give me a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. How about that? KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 22 minutes after the hour. About 10 minutes away, Kathleen Kennedy Townsend joins us. She spent two terms as Lieutenant Governor of Maryland, a state that has just passed a law embracing giving their electoral votes to the candidate who wins the popular vote for president nationally. We'll talk to her about that and about her new book called Failing America's Faithful, coming up, like I said, about 10 minutes from now. We continue with Reva Bala from Stratfor, which is a private intelligence service. Reva, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved at Stratfor.
Well, basically, my area of responsibility is Middle East and South Asia, and I've been with Stratfor for a few years, and that's pretty much my background with the company, but it's been a great company to work for so far, definitely.
And did you have an intelligence background? I mean, did you work for the CIA or anybody else?
Myself, no. Mm-hmm. I'm on the younger side of the spectrum here, but I definitely have a lot of other seasoned intelligence-type people in the company.
And do you travel to the area of the world that you cover?
Yeah, certainly do. Just came back, actually, from the region.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is your sense and Stratfor's official sense of this visit by Nancy Pelosi to many Middle Eastern capitals? The most controversial, of course, is Damascus.
I think it's a pretty marginal development, actually, if we, you know, going back to our discussion of the U.S.-Iranian negotiations over Iraq, Syria is a really marginal player in this. And, you know, although Syria is trying to assert itself and show that it's more of a legitimate player and one of the main security guarantors in Iraq, it's really not the case in the sense that the U.S. focus right now is completely on Iran. You know, of course, the Syrian border that it shares with Iraq is an issue that the U.S. keeps an eye on, and there's an interest in the U.S. to drive a wedge between the Syrian-Iranian alliance. But Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, you know, he's been very internally focused over the past few years, and following the Rafiq al-Hariri assassination
in Lebanon,
you know, Syria has steadily worked to sort of, you know, reestablish its presence in its neighbor, and that's really the primary focus for the country. It doesn't want to, you know, Syria is a very cautious actor. And it sees it in its interest right now to kind of fall closer under the Iranian umbrella. It just makes more strategic sense for Syria at this point.
Now, I'm not a Fortune 500 company, and I don't have a big budget, but would you be willing to share with me, you know, by email, one of your reports, for example, on the Pelosi visit to the Middle East?
Well, certainly. Sure.
Because I'd love to see how you do it. For example, you know, there's a lot of rhetoric flying around in the U.S. driven by the administration and what I consider to be right-wing talking points, where they're hammering Pelosi for what they consider an ill-advised effort to lead foreign policy. Well, I don't think that's what she's doing. And I'm just curious how your reports cut through that political rhetoric and offer, you know, an analysis that is not skewed by the partisan rhetoric.
Yeah, and like you said, I think this is a product of internal politicking, and, you know, that just adds to the insignificance, really, of this. But, you know, the whole idea being the Democrats want to show that they have an Iraq policy, and this is a good way to go about it, to show that there's an alternative to what Bush is doing and going out and engaging these different countries and showing that action is being taken, not that really that there's going to be any major result. Nancy Pelosi is not going to be able to get Bashar al-Assad to have a change of heart all of a sudden, and I don't think those expectations are realistic by any means. But really, you know, the Syrians, it adds to their legitimacy to some extent,
mm-hmm.
as they're getting the silent treatment from the administration to show that, you know, there are still some officials willing to talk with them.
Well, and I'm one of those people who doesn't like freelancers in foreign policy, you know, whether it's Jesse Jackson going to try to grab some headlines and free a hostage, or, you know, other examples that we've seen over the years. But I think Pelosi is well within her rights to visit these capitals. She went to Jerusalem first. She had a very important speech before the Knesset, met her female counterpart, the new speaker of the Knesset in Israel. And so, you know, in my view, while certainly the trip to Damascus is not something that the White House views in a friendly manner, she's well within her rights, and it's hardly unprecedented. Three Republicans went to visit Damascus before she got there this week.
Yeah, I think that's the amusing part of it. That really didn't get any attention, but certainly the Pelosi trip has. But, I mean, really, if you're looking for the significance of this, I think it's just really all about how the U.S. and Iran are negotiating at this point and at what stage that the negotiations have reached. And, you know, both have now furiously entered these negotiations, and they're both trying to avoid their respective worst-case scenarios. And the worst case for the U.S. being a shattered Iraq in which Iran controls the south, and the Iranians are sending signals that they have the assets in the south to make a move. And you can see that whenever these big sort of flare-ups happen,
mm-hmm.
You definitely start seeing the Shiite assets in the south start picking up.
Yeah.
And they're sending that signal every way they can. And then at the same time, you have the U.S., publicly coming out with Khalilzad coming out and saying, you know, we're talking to the Sunnis and we're mm-hmm. talking to the insurgent groups. And that's sending a very clear signal to Iran that you could eventually see, you know, an American-backed mm-hmm. Sunni regime. Back
Reva Bala from Stratfor, thanks for joining us today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi, as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's gonna be one day.
Dion DiMucci, 1968, that song was released. Abraham, Martin, and John, and a reference to Bobby Kennedy there, too. And Brian Urban is dialing feverishly right now to connect up with the eldest daughter of Robert F. Kennedy. She is Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, served two terms as Lieutenant Governor of the state of Maryland. Before that, she worked at the U.S. Justice Department, and you probably know that her dad was Attorney General during the Kennedy administration, 1960 to 1963. And so she's written a powerful book called Failing America's Faithful, How Today's Churches Are Mixing God with Politics and Losing Their Way. Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's great to be talking to you.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and thanks for joining us today. First, I wanted to just get a couple of basics out of the way. I describe myself as a recovering Catholic, and I went to a Jesuit high school where they pounded a lot of religion into me. And the way I describe it, you know, a succession of popes have driven the church away from the, the Vatican Council of the mid-1960s that gave so much of us a sense of hope about the church moving forward. And in your book, I sense that you have great disappointment with at least the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church.
You are a perceptive human being.
Well, I also have to ask you, before I let you comment on that, you went to a Sacred Heart school.
Yes.
And I want to know how you fared at Preem's, the ritual public humiliation of students who broke the rules.
Oh, that is so funny. Should we describe to your listeners what Preem's consisted of?
Yes, and I want to know how many ACBNs you got.
Oh, God. No, you are too much. No, this is too much. Well, for your listeners, Preem's, we met every Monday, and all the girls in the school were lined up, and everybody who was polite, the names of all those who were polite and were orderly were always read off. And then each class was called up in order, and the people who were good, very good, and indifferent.
Très bien, bien, and assez bien, right? It was all
well,
French.
It was assez bien, but we also had this other term, indifferent, and that person had to step outside the circle. So that was quite stunning.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else happened? Oh, we always had to wear our white gloves and polish our shoes. But just to get a sense of where I came from, at one point I did get the most improved for orderliness, and the whole school burst into applause.
I see. And of course, that had to be against the backdrop of previous failures?
That was definitely, there were many failures. that was true. There were many failures. But we were also judged, which I love describing, on intercourse with companions.
Oh, yes.
They've changed the wording these days.
It was holy intercourse, right?
So that's true.
Well, let me read.
Where did you go to school? Washington?
No, I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio. I went to St. Xavier High School as part of the Chicago province of the Jesuit industries.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know. When I was going to Stone Ridge, the Sacred Heart School, my brothers were going to Georgetown Prep. So, and so we were in the same carpool. We dropped the boys off and then
Well, I'm very grateful to the Jesuits because they taught me how to think and they taught me how to debate, which has been very useful in the career that I chose. And I'll just tell you a quick story. The guy who taught me freshman theology was Father Joe Sweeney. And in one of those parents' meetings, he had to tell my mom that I wasn't cooperating. that I kept always following up his assertions with, why? 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 And so, you know, they had a couple of these conferences. Fast forward 6 years, I'm in Chicago, and I get a call from a guy who says, it's Joe Sweeney. And I said, oh, Father Sweeney? He said, used to be.
Wow.
And anyway, Joe Sweeney invited me to lunch. He was working for the U.S. attorney in Chicago as a probation officer. Yep. And the purpose of the lunch was to ask me if my widowed mother would like to go out with him. Wow. And I said, Joe, you're going to have to ask her yourself.
That is such a wonderful story. Well, did she want to go out with him?
No.
No.
No, she, and it wasn't personal. She just, she really didn't date anybody after my dad died. So,
wow.
Anyway, I want to dive into your book here because you've written some very powerful statements here. Today, don't get me wrong, you may pray and give money to your church and give support through your church to all sorts of good causes, as do I. But fear and intolerance have taken hold. Instead of emphasizing the fact that we're all children of God, faith in America now divides communities. Virtue is something that takes place in your own home, in your church, and perhaps in your neighborhood if you're lucky. The fastest growing churches in the country, evangelical churches, tend to emphasize personal salvation over the creation of a more just nation. And many of those churches, along with my own Catholic Church, are using moral values as a code with which to attack those who don't believe as we do. Most of the millions of dollars congregants give to churches every year go not to help the needy, but for infrastructure and expansion of their own churches. And I would add parenthetically, the Catholic Church has been selling church properties in San Francisco to help pay off the sex abuse settlements. So this is a very powerful statement, and I appreciate you coming forward because these are important issues, and your point of view is largely unexpressed in contemporary society.
Thank you. I think it is unexpressed, which is why I wrote. I thought that in two ways do I believe it's unexpressed. The first is that the criticism of the Christian right has, and my own church, has often been in terms of get religion out of politics, rather than critiquing the very understanding of religion that these groups have. And I wanted to take that on because, like you, I was lucky enough, I think, and I do feel myself lucky and blessed, to have gone to a Catholic school in which our faith was a broad faith, in which we were taught that we had to care about our neighbor and build a more just society, and we dealt with the issues of poverty and injustice, whether people were paid fairly, whether they could join labor unions, whether there was discrimination. And today's churches, I think, have really privatized religion. It's a talk about a personal relationship with God, which is quite wonderful, but as though it begins and ends there and then criticizes others for their sins, which I feel is very un-Christian and totally unfortunate for our political and our life.
Well, and if I can cut right to it, I was offended by the hypocrisy shown by the President of the United States, who went to Rome for the ritual funeral of John Paul II and tried to kind of, you know, suck up that afterglow and use it for his own political benefit. And my issue here is that one of the most powerful things that John Paul tried to do before he died was express his deep opposition to the U.S. invasion of Iraq. And I firmly believe, based on, you know, my training as a Catholic, that this is a war that is flatly immoral. And yet most of our religious leaders are muted if they say anything at all about this. And they're willing to propound about people's sexual values and sexual behavior and interfere in the private lives of believers and non-believers, but they're not willing to take a leadership position on the most crucial moral issue of our time.
Well, you're very eloquent about this. I have to say, though, I think I would hold the Pope responsible for that. The Pope actually, in the last election, in the last presidential election, allowed his picture to be taken with George Bush.
Yeah.
And as you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So he may say that he was against the war, but in fact, his decision to allow his picture to be taken, which was very much that picture was much the product of Karl Rove's constant phone call.
Mm-hmm.
really to show to me that the Catholic Church, for all it what it says about the war, was really more interested in the question of abortion. When it comes down to where their obsession is, what they're most upset about, it's abortion. And as you know, I say in this book, is that why have this this male hierarchy chosen the one sin that males can't commit to really focus on?
Well, let's go a little further. The fraternity that runs the Catholic Church has excluded women in a ruthless way that is not justified in the teachings of Christ or in the New Testament, in my view. And, you know, the sex abuse scandals really underscore how much of an old boys' club the hierarchy of the Catholic Church is. They operated with less openness and less of a sense of guilt and forgiveness than the Pentagon does when they're caught, you know, with a huge cost overrun or fraud to Halliburton or those sorts of things.
Yeah.
I mean, the posture of the Church in these recent issues, and in particular the sex abuse scandal, has been shameful and, in my view, totally unchristian.
I think that's right, and that's, you know, why I wrote this book, Failing America's Faithful, because I wanted to, just as you say, to underscore that the Church has not lived up to its promise, that it looks like a group of men who are protecting their own power and privileges, and they don't look like a group that was really interested in the children that were hurt or holding accountable those that did the harm. The fact that they did that, I think, really weakened their moral authority and actually gives an opening for all of us who say women should be able to be priests, that married people should be able to be priests, and to underscore that if you want a just and moral institution, you've got to change.
Kathleen Kennedy Townsend with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll take your calls in the next segment, so if you'd like to grab a line, call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, in the introduction to your book, you mention a woman who I know well, a Roman Catholic nun named Maureen Fiedler.
Yes.
And she's based there in the Maryland suburbs of,
yes,
Washington, D.C. And I helped her start the syndicated public radio show called Interfaith Voices.
Yes.
And Maureen is somebody who I gain inspiration from because she is a very progressive person trapped in a very conservative religious environment, and yet she doesn't lose hope. And her coverage of the installation of Ratzinger as Pope Benedict just showed me how she can rise to that occasion. Tell me what your thoughts are, because I would love to see a day when someone like Maureen Fiedler could be ordained a priest. That's something that she really wants. She believes God has called her to do that. And yet these guys are saying, sorry, maybe you could clean out the chalice for us.
That's right. Well, I think that's clearly women are called to the priesthood, and you know when you can read the Bible under with a different view, you can understand that I consider Christ actually the first feminist, because he reached out to Mary and Martha and taught when women weren't allowed to be educated. Mary Magdalene was the only one, you know, woman at the bottom of the cross. She was the person that Jesus first appeared to after he rose from the dead. So there was this whole subtext in our Bible about women having important roles. This church, as you know, has a hard time seeing it. Why does it have a hard time seeing it? Because like any group, they don't want to give up power easily. But my thought was that over the next 100 years, this is going to take a while, they're going to be surrounded by the growing strength of women, the fact that we're smart, that we're leaders, that we can handle and run organizations, and the church will look increasingly isolated, and then they will have to change.
Mm-hmm.
As they've had to change, as you know, for their support of democracy, which they didn't have. Until the ninth to the Vatican II, and their support from freedom of religion, which they didn't have the
right.
Vatican II. So they are slow, and it did take them, as we both know, 350 years to realize that Galileo was right, to acknowledge that. It's a slow-moving church.
You're a patient incrementalist.
Which I still love.
We're going to take a break and return with Kathleen Kennedy Townsend. Her book is Failing America's Faithful. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective, here on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
From the left coast, you've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
Ooh, I'm glad I'm not a Kennedy. Imagine being a Kennedy. Rule without remedy. To watch the family die. The world loves to sacrifice. This song for the free. Honoring the tragedy. The hunger for the crime. The privilege to take the life. Wearing the fame like a loaded.
We're talking with Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, the eldest child of Robert F. Kennedy. Her new book is called Failing America's Faithful, How Today's Churches Are Mixing God with Politics and Losing Their Way. Are you familiar with that song fragment I just played?
No.
That's Shona Lang. It's about 1985, and the song is called Glad I'm Not a Kennedy. And
no, I couldn't believe it.
Includes a passage from a JFK speech. Here's a little... So It's been in my collection for a long time, and I play it as a way of saying that I have great respect, you know, for your family and the sacrifices that you have endured. I've met your brother Robert and his passion for the environment and the other battles that he's been waging are inspiring to all of us. But in the book, you talk about the death of your uncle, followed by the death of your father, and that you pressed on. The very summer that your father was killed, you went to work with some disadvantaged people in the West. And so, you know, I guess the urge to serve is something that you inherited, and it led you to two terms as lieutenant governor of Maryland and a campaign for governor that came close, but not quite close enough. What are your reflections on that legacy, Kathleen?
Well, thank you for asking. I think, you know, what I said in the book is that our faith taught us that, you know, we have, that those who have been given much will be expected, and that, you know, part of being on earth is seeing how we can serve, how we can make the world a better place for those who are not as fortunate. And I saw that in my father when, you know, his own brother had been killed, when everything he worked for and fought for and yearned for had been sort of destroyed. And he, you know, he could have retreated. He could have gone, done something else, you know, had a very life sort of more full of pleasure, and he decided not to do that. So I think what I learned from my family is that our sense of, that our life, I mean, we all want our life to be worthwhile, but part of it is giving back, giving something back. And I think that's an important goal, and it gives me a sense of purpose, mm-hmm. As I do think it gives anybody who does that. And I think this is really one of the issues that we face in our country today. You know, I quote, as you remember or may remember, that when David Frost asked both Ronald Reagan and my father, what are we on earth for? What is our purpose on earth? And Ronald Reagan said individual salvation, and my father said helping others.
Yeah.
You know, I think this whole idea that it's all about yourself is not too interesting. I mean, it's sort of a small goal, if you ask me.
Right.
Why don't we think about what we can do for somebody else?
Well, and I best remember your father really for the catharsis that occurred as he geared up to run for president. I really didn't like his legacy as attorney general. I didn't like the CIA stuff. I didn't like the Marilyn Monroe stuff.
The Marilyn Monroe stuff was all made up. So,
okay.
I didn't like it either, and it's a lie.
I'm sure it's painful.
Well, it's not painful. What's painful is when people say things that aren't true.
Mm-hmm. Well, my point is that he really did change as he geared up to run for president, and I found him to be, you know, much more in touch with real people. And, you know, his opposition to the war in Vietnam, of course, was a signal of great importance to young people like me at that time.
Well, you know, I think it's an interesting thing when you say people change. I do think people change, and but it is true. I'm going to defend my father.
Oh, please.
On a number of counts. One, I think that his fight against the corruption in the Teamsters was really fighting for the little people.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you couldn't join a labor union without paying off somebody or being worried about it being, you know, beaten up by thugs.
Right.
That's not helping little people at all.
Well, and on civil rights issues, he was very forceful, and, you know, I have a great deal of respect for the work he did there. Let me just squeeze in one call before we run out of time. Richard in Eureka, join us with Kathleen Kennedy Townsend.
Hello, ma'am. It's an honor to speak with you. You too, Peter. First of all, I'd like to say I feel like your father was a great man, and I often find myself wondering, you know, what our country would be like had he, you know, become president. But I wanted to ask you, do you plan on running again for governor for Maryland? I was rooting for you in that.
Thank you so much. Well, we have a very good governor right now, so Martin O'Malley, so no, I'm not planning to run.
Okay. All right, well, that's all I really had to say, and keep it up.
All right.
Thank you so much.
John in Carmel Valley, join us. Oh, John didn't hold on.
All right.
Well, Kathleen, I want to thank you for the book that you've written.
And thank you very much.
I also want to recommend a book to you if you haven't seen it yet, Why the Christian Right is Wrong by Robin Myers.
Uh-huh.
He's a Unitarian pastor from Oklahoma City.
Oh, that sounds good.
And I think that the chords that you strike are very similar to some of his. And I'd love to see
I'd
you
like
check
to,
that
I,
out.
Because I think what we need to do is actually really, I think, explore Christianity rather than just say, well, that's their Christianity. I mean, right now there's, a big debate on Muslim, on Islam. And the question is, you know, what is real? And people are discussing, well, you know, is that a perversion or is that really part of their core beliefs? And I think the same thing can be discussed on Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people say, well, what is your recommendation after reading this book? I said, well, part of it is to know our history, to know our faith, to understand what it is that we're influenced.
I wish we had more time. Thank you for your time
it's
today.
Great to be with you. Really a pleasure. That Jesuit.
Pour me another tequila.
Here's what people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored will retake the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News learns of a deal in the works to free the British sailors.
This is a very critical time.
President Bush demands action on war funding.
My attitude is enough politics.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. National security correspondent David Martin reports Britain and Iran have exchanged documents outlining the terms of a deal for the release of the captured sailors.
In return for release of the sailors, the British government would say it regrets the incident and will make sure it doesn't happen again, but would not admit its sailors violated Iranian waters. Britain's prime minister sounds like a man who thinks a deal is near.
This is a very critical time. And the most important thing is that we get our people back safe and sound.
But Britain's foreign minister cautioned against assuming the standoff will end quickly, and U.S. officials warn hardliners in Iran could still undo the deal.
This word of progress comes after an Iranian diplomat kidnapped in Iraq 2 months ago was freed. U.S. forces in Iraq are still holding 5 Iranians captured in a raid last year. An Iranian official has said their release would help free the British sailors, but President Bush today rejected any quid pro quo. Now this.
Don't risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time, high-quality, professional-looking documents. Our design print and ship depot can print almost anything and ship it almost anywhere. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot!
Tuesday's done, oh no worries, Wednesday's perfect to unwind.
Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this Wednesday with Outback's new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill. Tender chicken, jumbo shrimp, and your choice of a juicy sirloin or New Zealand lamb chop.
Let's go out back tonight.
The new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill.
Start your weekend 2 days early.
Wednesday, the new Saturday.
President Bush says time is running out. He claims the military will start to feel the pinch within weeks unless there is more funding for the war in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
At a news conference in the Rose Garden, President Bush vented his frustration and impatience with the Democratic Congress for not sending him a bill he can sign to fund U.S. operations in Iraq.
If they want to play politics, fine. They continue to do that. I will veto it, but they ought to do it quick.
They ought to get to the bill to my desk as quickly as possible, and I'll veto it, and then we can get out of the business of funding our troops without strings and without withdrawal dates.
Mr. Bush warned that if funds begin to run out this month, it may delay the return of some troops from Iraq and hasten the deployment there of others. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Mr. Bush needs to compromise.
The choice is bipartisanship or stalemate. Congress can make, we have a majority in the Congress, the president has the signature. And we have to work together to pass legislation that has sustainable remedies to the challenges that face the American people.
Pelosi spoke in Damascus. She went there over the administration's objections for a meeting with President Assad. President Bush says the visit sends mixed signals about U.S. policy. Cell phones are almost everywhere, but airplanes in flight will remain cell-free zones. CBS's Jim Taylor reports on a decision today by the Federal Communications Commission.
The reason cell phones are required to be turned off when an airplane is in the air, to avoid interfering with cellular network systems on the ground. But interested parties like phone companies asked, is this really necessary? FCC says there's insufficient technical information on that question. Until there is, the rules stay. And these stay off. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
They were way off last year, but the hurricane forecasters at Colorado State University say the coming season will be a doozy. CBS News correspondent Peter King has details.
The Colorado State forecast is an update of December's predictions.
We've upped our expected hurricane numbers from 7 to 9 and our major hurricanes from 3 to 5. This is one of the most active forecasts we've made.
Dr. William Gray says this season should be above average thanks to a diminishing El Nino and warmer temperatures in the Atlantic. Last year's forecast fell short of the actual number of hurricanes, none of which hit land. Gray says there's a 74% chance of a landfalling major hurricane this year.
The season officially begins June 1st. In the midst of a pet food contamination scare, some reassurance for humans. The importer of wheat gluten from China says none of it went to makers of people food. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
They were a family in search of opportunity when they went west on the Oregon Trail in 1843. They were threatened by lightning, wind, and river crossings. They were overjoyed upon reaching Oregon and building their new home. They are waiting to be found.
Meet your ancestors. Learn their stories. Search millions of records and family trees at Ancestry.com and start your journey of discovery.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Thanks for joining us for this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Later this hour, our weekly visit with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. Alberto Gonzalez got a little bit of an Easter break, mainly because the House and the Senate took an Easter break. But he may face the music as early as next week. Jason will give us the update on that. But first, Norman Solomon returns to our program. And I have some very special music to set this up. Let's test Norman here and see if you can recognize this. This is the clarinet stylings of Mr. Acker Bilk, Norman. Do you remember him?
No, I'm not placing it.
Okay. Well, then it's not the... I'm just going to have to explain it all, and my little gambit here won't pay off. But Mr. Acker Bilk was a clarinet player, and he had one big hit in the summer of 1960 called Stranger on the Shore. And I don't have that. But I have this, which is a contribution he made to a Van Morrison album a couple of years ago. And I was going to use it to set up Strangers on the Shoreja, because that's where John McCain and General Petraeus went strolling in Baghdad on Sunday. And it was just a casual walk, you know, out of the green zone. Well, actually, no, they took a big convoy out of the green zone, went to the Shorja Market, and then they started to stroll. But there were three Black Hawk helicopters hovering overhead, over 100 troops there, we think all Americans. Maybe some of them were Blackwater, but they were sporting, you know, automatic weapons. And this was hardly a stroll in the park, wouldn't you say?
Well, if it's just the usual shopping trip, then I wonder why flak jackets were necessary. But that's part of the forthcoming nature of this administration. Just, you know, I want to ask a question, but I'm afraid what the answer is. How stupid do they think we are?
pretty damn stupid.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's projection on their part. I mean, would they believe this sort of nonsense? And yet, you know, John McCain is supposed to be this very savvy veteran who knows which way is up in the military world. And I guess he just really wants to be president really badly.
That's the only message you can get, because he's promoting and projecting images that can only be based on denial.
Well, some people do ask, given that most of the U.S. public, according to polls, is really against this war, how he could think of becoming president when he is gung-ho for this surge and all the rest of it. I think the answer is the nomination, that he realizes it's a step at a time. And come July, he hopes to be the nominee, and then he can do his dance. But right now, he's got to get through the hard right primaries, and that's why he's shaking his fist and rattling the sabers.
So he's working on the Nixon principles, that in the primary you hug to the right and then you move to the center once you win the nomination.
Oh, I think that's it, including the very militarized South. And, of course, he's been sucking up to the evangelical far right. And we'll see how far this takes him.
Well, and I mentioned General Petraeus was with him on the walk. Petraeus bought a rug. It was about $2, and he gave the guy a 20 and told him to keep the change.
Oh, that's very generous. Well, I bought a rug in Baghdad also in December of 2002. Actually, it was January of 2003. And I'm not proud of that rug because I think of the line in Shakespeare of Macbeth where all of the riches of Arabia can't get the blood out of Lady Macbeth's hands. And frankly, that's what this is about. This is blood on the hands of everybody in the House and Senate who approved the invasion of this war, McCain included, and now who won't vote and fight for a cutoff of funds.
Mm-hmm. And General Petraeus, I learned through a story I read earlier today, recently held a high-level meeting with the Republican Senate caucus and discussed with them, you know, the strategy, the surge, and told them that he hopes to have some better news by August. And reportedly, they said they'll stay with him until August, but if things aren't better by then, they're peeling off.
Yeah, this is what the punditocracy is saying, too, that the fate of this occupation will be determined in the next few months and then registered and indexed.
That's the Friedman rule, isn't it? We just keep talking, well, give me the next 6 months are going to do it.
The problem is the horizon has been moving for close to 4 years now on that score.
Yeah. Yeah,
very much. And Petraeus is supposed to be this guy of integrity. Bush started off the week with his statement about how the general's turning things around. And yet, why is the guy strategizing with right-wing Republicans?
Mm-hmm. Very good question. Norman Solomon with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, Norman, we have McCain, who first said stateside that things were calming down in Baghdad and you could walk on the streets. And then he went over there to try to prove it with this incredible photo op that they created. We have Mike Pence, a very conservative Republican from Indiana, saying that, gosh, you know, things are really getting better. And a newbie, a congressman from Michigan, whose name I can't summon at the moment, said, hey, Baghdad, you know, it's almost as safe as Detroit.
Yeah, this is the blight at the end of the tunnel idea. And I think most people aren't buying it, but it will play to the base. I mean, there's apparently a third of this country that will support anything, will swallow any ridiculous tale. And I think that's, you know, that's the base they're trying to build on.
And in a piece that you published yesterday, Truth Out and Perhaps Elsewhere, you take us back to 1962 and Robert McNamara, when he was fully enshrouded by the fog of war. I'm referring to a documentary in which he later recanted some of his Vietnam positions.
Yeah, McNamara went to Vietnam for the first time as defense secretary in the spring of 1962, and he came back and he said, and I'm quoting here, "Nothing but progress and hopeful indications of further progress in the future." More than 4 years later, he came back from another trip to Vietnam, and he said again there was enormous progress. And I quote in my piece that Daniel Ellsberg, who worked for McNamara in the Pentagon at the time, wrote later that McNamara actually, minutes before claiming all this progress he'd seen in Vietnam, said that actually things were much worse there. So there's the split between private candor and public deception.
Mm-hmm. And another note from Sunday's New York Times, an interesting article recapped how long it took from the first congressional vote against the Vietnam War until American troops actually came home. And I think it was over 7 years. And we're now facing that possible, that possibility, that kind of a timeline where, you know, as weak as it was, the House and the Senate have taken votes that at least put the Democrats and a couple of Republicans on record as opposing the war and its escalation. But if Vietnam is any kind of a precursor, we have barely begun this struggle.
Yeah, and there's a tendency people look at the November 2006 election results, or as Frank Rich wrote, as I recall, well over a year ago, you know, somebody tell Bush the war is over. Well, this tends to be an overestimate of how quickly the political establishment in Washington responds to a semblance of sanity in the public. And this could drag on for years despite the poll results, because what really matters is who the commander-in-chief is and what he does.
And I'm one of those people who didn't get behind the House bill. I'm a Barbara Lee kind of guy, and I really think that her proposal, Kucinich's proposal, are much more realistic and ultimately what the Democrats will have to embrace in order to stop this president's folly. But I'm mildly encouraged by Russ Feingold's initiative announced yesterday to put a bill through the Senate, and we can't be sure it will pass, but his proposal, I think, is interesting, to give Bush a choice between the non-binding bill with timelines that the Senate has passed that does provide the $100 billion for the war, and a much more draconian measure that would cut off all funds as of March of 2008. Now, I don't consider either one of these to be the ultimate resolution, but the idea that Reid and Feingold are backing up the weak bill with one that Bush would clearly like less is a very interesting process.
Well, it is, and I think it's an indication of just how unfamiliar Bush is with anything called a separation of powers or a legislative branch that doesn't just kowtow to him. And we're really, I think, looking at a sort of a face-off where as weak and really in many ways pathetic as these measures through the House and Senate were shepherded by Reid and Pelosi because they continue to fund a war that shouldn't be funded, still in all, it's something that Bush just cannot abide. And we're going to see, I think, a very important conflict here.
Well, and he's getting angry. Today he held a news conference where he basically is just wagging his finger at the Democrats, accusing them of politicizing these issues. And, of course, he's done that on the Gonzales case, too. Look in the mirror, George. And it does seem that he's becoming more desperate. He's trying to claim that if they don't fund this immediately, it's going to hurt the troops, when it's very clear that July is the time when crunch would occur if no further funding is provided.
Yeah, no rhetorical strategy is beneath these folks who say, you know, you're going to harm our troops if you don't give them more money to continue in a war they shouldn't be in. There is more and more this tone of the kind of Elmer Fudd ambience of the president, you know, you Dwight and Wabbit and all that. I won't try that with a Texas drawl. But the problem continues to be that Bush has his own voices in his head, apparently. We know he thinks that not only he talks to God, but vice versa. this is very dangerous. And so whatever resilience the political system has to have the people's will exerted on the executive branch, we've got to organize that effectively.
Yeah. Norman Solomon's with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. His most recent book, War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. It's out in paperback. And you can get more information at NormanSolomon.com. We're going to shift gears after the break and talk about the effort to purchase the Chicago Tribune Company by breakup artist Sam Zell. We'll talk about that with Norman next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday. Of course, it's opening day in San Francisco. By the way, the Giants just lost. Just thought I'd give you that information against the Padres in opening day. Now, let's tell you a little bit about Salinas, because we do have a problem. It's an accident. Old Stage Road at Encinel Road. It's a solo vehicle that went off the roadway. CHP is, in fact, already on scene in Aptos. Aptos Hills at Larkin Valley. Southbound 1 at Larkin Valley. We have a large box and a dolly, believe it or not. They're in the lanes of the off-ramp. Other than that, we're looking pretty good. Highway 17, no major stalls or accidents to report, which is nice. We're going to just give a reminder that Santa Cruz, Highway 1 southbound to the Morrissey Boulevard off-ramp, the on- and off-ramp shut down 24 hours a day through May 1st. This support brought to you by Panasonic Plasma Televisions. Baseball is here. Watch every pitch in crisp, clear Panasonic motion. Panasonic Plasma available at Best Buy.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It was not a jailbreak, but Josh Wolf went free today. He served 7.5 months on a contempt citation for his refusal to give up a videotape to prosecutors.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this town.
We continue our conversation with Norman Solomon. And Norman, I was just following this during the break here. It turns out that Josh Wolf, who is a blogger and kind of a part-time journalist, who shot some videotape at a demonstration in July of 2005 in San Francisco's Mission District, reached an agreement with prosecutors today. They withdrew their demand for his testimony, and he coughed up the video. He posted the uncut video on his website, gave the prosecutors a copy, and then denied under oath that he knew anything about the violent incidents at that protest in the summer of 2005. This is another case of the government overreaching. I mean, one cop was injured and a police car caught fire. And they used this process to claim it was a federal issue to try to lock him up under federal laws because there's no journalist protection under federal law. What do you have to say about it, Norman?
Yeah, well, turning the screws on journalists is always a bad sign. It was even true with the odious Judith Miller. Once you have prosecutors and police officers nosing around in the files of journalists and proclaiming from the judicial bench or the DA's office what is a confidential source and who should have a shield as a journalist, then you have the government trying to edit the news and pushing journalists up against the wall to make them talk, and I'm really against that.
Yeah. Well, later today at 5:30 Pacific time, we're going to talk with Gabriel Myers. He was one of the demonstrators who was arrested that day, and he believes it was his styrofoam sign that got caught under the police car, that caught fire, that produced at least part of this incident. So I'm very happy for Josh Wolf. We'll see if we can get him on the program in the near future. But I'm also disappointed in the way the government, again, responding to California's Shield Law, just said, oh, well, we'll declare this a federal issue. And it's such a stretch to claim that because the San Francisco Police Department gets some money from the Department of Homeland Security, that suddenly this becomes a federal case.
Well, Josh Wolf deserves a lot of credit for spending months and months and months in jail, and he's really a credit to journalists.
Yeah, he sure is. Norman, I wanted to get your comment, too, on Sam Zell's weekend deal to take over the Chicago Tribune Company. I did a little math. He put up $300 million on an $8.2 billion deal. That's a down payment of about 3.9%.
Well, there are a lot of houses that I could buy on that basis, and I certainly don't have much money.
Yeah.
And I think that this speaks to a lot of agendas that tend to run. You know, increasingly, the LA Times has been jerked in a more commercial direction, a more corporate, and a more conservative direction. And that ripple effect goes way beyond LA, not just the Tribune bought the Los Angeles Times, but the Baltimore Sun, Newsday, other major dailies, and we're seeing that effect of corporate consolidation, and it ain't pretty.
Well, and it could get even worse because Sam Zell is not a newsman, a journalist, a publisher. He's a breakup artist. His only media deal before was he bought into J-Core Communications, a company that was on its knees, had bought too many radio stations during deregulation, and he held it long enough to sell it to Clear Channel for a tidy profit. That doesn't make him, you know, anybody with any special expertise in the news business.
Well, this is really the predatory scavenger view of how media outlets should be owned and managed and operated. And it is not only a metaphor, but a reality that a few years ago, Times and Mirror had bought in somebody who had a claim to fame of learning how to very effectively market Wheaties and Cheerios from General Mills. This is not right. I mean, as journalists, as people who depend on the First Amendment, whether we're reporters, editors, producers, or none of the above, we suffer when it's big money that puts a big corporation sitting on the windpipe of the First Amendment, which is all the more reason we've got to support, if I might say, programs like this and outlets that don't just give you the spliced and diced corporate so-called news.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. Now, here's an activist alert. Common Cause is leading the charge to get people to offer their comments to the FCC because as part of this takeover by Sam Zell, the Tribune Company has to get an extension of a waiver so that it can own the Los Angeles Times and KTLA-TV. And many of us believe that it'd be a good idea that they sell the television station and really provide multiple voices in an important market like Los Angeles. So log on to commoncause.org and click on the link to the Tribune page there. And if you can, I'd appreciate your comments to the FCC. They're only taking comments until this Friday, April 6th, which surprises me. But if you have the opportunity, please express yourself and tell them that you want them to force Tribune to divest either the television station or the newspaper to provide more diversity in the news gathering in Los Angeles. So I hope you will follow up on that. Norman, I got 30 seconds. Anything else you want to add? You want to talk about Iran?
Well, you know, I think that the saber-rattling towards Iran is of a piece with what we saw 4 and 5 years ago about Iraq. And meanwhile, we have a news coverage that simply gives us part of the story. I mean, there were several Iranians who were essentially abducted, captured, claimed by Tehran to be diplomats, grabbed by the U.S. military. So down the line now, some British sailors grabbed by Iran. We're just not getting the discourse about how one event is connected to another.
Yeah. Norman, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Peter.
Norman Solomon. Jason Leopold will join us next as the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Why were they really arrested? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. After repeated televised confessions, the case of the 15 British sailors arrested by Iran now appears to be in the hands of the diplomats. Not a moment too soon. I think the Mullahs were about to give them their own primetime sitcom. I mean, they looked way too relaxed, don't you think? Smiling? One sailor walks to the map and points out exactly where they trespassed, like he was just one of those men who never asked directions, almost as if they knew the whole thing was a joke. And now, the Independent of Britain is reporting it may have had nothing to do with the British at all. In January, U.S. helicopters raided an Iranian liaison office in northern Iraq, intending to capture the head of Iranian intelligence. They ended up instead with five junior officers who were still in custody. Then in February, Iraqi gunmen, bearing official government ID, abducted an Iranian diplomat in Baghdad. Iran suspects U.S. involvement in that, too. So connecting the dots, the Iranians may have seized the British sailors to put pressure on the United States, which makes this whole thing doubly outrageous, because it would mean that Iran was punishing one country for something done by an entirely different country. It would be like you're attacked by Group A, but you can't get back at Group A, so you go off and attack Group B just because you don't like them. And that's why Iran's leaders have this reputation for irrationality, because no rational leader retaliates for an attack from Group A by attacking Group B. I mean, can you think of anyone? Can you? Oh, you can. Well, darn.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Do
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Man, who writes that stuff?
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next hour, Melanie Sloan checks in from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. She's going to tell us about some of the ethical challenges facing Nevada's Governor Jim Gibbons. No laws were broken. But first, it's time for our weekly visit with Jason Leopold, investigative reporter from truthout.org and the author of a personal memoir, News Junkie. Jason, how you doing today?
Great to be back, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. Listen, before we get to Alberto Gonzalez's Easter break, I wanted to just ask you your thoughts and see if you could confirm or deny. Are you part of the team, Ron Burkle and David Geffen, who want to take over the L.A. Times where you used to work?
You know, that's supposed to be quiet, but yeah.
You're working on it.
Wouldn't that be poetic justice?
Now look. Sam Zell picked up the whole shooting match with a down payment of under 4%.
Right.
So, Jason, you and I rub a couple of credit cards together. Don't you think we could buy the L.A. Times?
I tell you, especially living in L.A., it just seems that you've got all these rich folks around. I'm sure that. Something I could have done. I wish I would have worked a little harder on it.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see because Sam Zell is a breakup artist. At the time he announced the takeover, the first thing he said was, "We're unloading the Cubs at the end of the season." Now, maybe that's because he owns part of the White Sox and just doesn't want any kind of conflict there interleague. But hey, he's larded up the debt in this takeover. And he will break it up and sell the pieces.
He will, definitely. And in fact, it will be interesting to see if he, holds on to the L.A. Times. I know that the, Geffen and Burkle and Eli...
Brode?
Yes. Right. Desperately want to take that paper back and have it a more L.A.-owned newspaper.
Well, what about the Chandlers? You know, the Chandlers are the ones who make out like a bandit from this leverage buyout.
Actually, the Chandlers, interestingly, the Chandlers have been really pushing for the paper to, return to private ownership. And they've actually, voiced their concerns regarding the editorial direction that the newspaper itself had, has been heading. And certainly the editorial slant that... that has taken over the editorial pages.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the LA Times, the coverage of its own takeover the coverage of the interest in LA really, has touched on the fact that, the LA Times does not feel like an LA newspaper anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, there are questions about, why does David Geffen want it? And I think that they really do want to change the paper back to at least what it felt like when the Chandlers owned it, which by the way, let me just say, I was there when they owned it, did not feel that great, but it certainly would be much better than it is now. I mean, a lot of this is inside baseball. The look of the LA Times, it looks exactly like the Chicago paper.
Mm-hmm.
you know, aesthetically, it's a very similar looking newspaper.
I don't mind talking inside baseball. The last time I picked up the Times, which was the LA Times, about 3 weeks ago,
yeah,
I noticed more different fonts being used.
What I was just going to say is that it aesthetically, the appearance, the physical paper itself really does look like the Chicago paper.
Mm-hmm. And that's not a compliment. It used to be a more streamlined, better designed, more consistently designed paper.
Exactly. So, again, you know, the Times has been struggling for years to compete with the New York Times and some of the other bigger newspapers in terms of having a national presence. They
mm-hmm.
really have tried to be a national newspaper. And, you know, some of the things that they've done, truly, you know, changing the fonts, just, you know, redesigning the entire paper in the front page, is so it can have the more of an appearance of a national newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And
the other thing that I noticed, and again, this is anecdotal because I don't read the Times on a regular basis. I do pick up some of the stories online. But the last time I picked up the physical newspaper, I was shocked by how much crime reporting was there in a very lurid style.
Exactly. And that is exactly part of, you know, some of the complaints. I mean, I can tell you that, first of all, the Times has seen a massive circulation decrease.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when you start losing 200,000, 250,000 readers who subscribe to the paper, that's a major impact, not only on, obviously, shareholder value, but just on the quality. And that's really what, you know, what we deal with here in Los Angeles, because this is a one newspaper town.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I read the Times online. You know, I live here, so that's part of it. But in terms of subscribing to it, it just doesn't, you don't feel that it's your newspaper. You don't have that feeling that it's, you know, that it represents your community or even your city. You know, just going to the editorial side of it on the op-ed pages, you know, they really started to take a more conservative approach.
Well, they fired my buddy Bob Scheer, who had been there for 20-plus years.
Exactly, and they put in Jacob Weisberg, and they actually started putting in, interestingly, a number of libertarian columnists to run those pages. So, you know, there's been internal strife at the LA Times for, you know, nearly a decade. You know, like I said, when the Chandlers owned it, it wasn't great. But this all, what happened after the fallout of the Staples Center, and
mm-hmm.
just for your listeners, the Staples Center fiasco was when the Times had new ownership. Actually, it was Mark Willis, who was former chairman of General Mills, who was referred to as the serial killer, he was the publisher. They had this concept of breaking down the wall between advertising and editorial, and they launched into this deal with the brand new Staples Center, in which they would share revenue from advertising and have a special magazine dedicated to the Staples Center, but did not inform the editorial staffers that they had this arrangement. And it was a very big deal, not only ethically, but in terms of, you know, how the newspaper business truly became a business. And that was back in, 98 or 99. And ever since then, it's just, you know, it's sort of really been downhill from there. You know, it certainly once the Tribune took over.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's just segue here. Tell me how the Los Angeles Times has played the issues related to the firing of U.S. attorneys and the lack of truthiness of one Alberto Gonzalez.
You know, I have to say, that's the one area where the Times has done an okay job, certainly not a great job. Ronald Brownstein, who is one of the national reporters, and has appeared on a couple of occasions on Hardball with Chris Matthews. You know, there's a bit of conflict of interest. I believe his wife has works on some sort of political campaign or works for one of the
political candidates, I'm not sure who. Mm-hmm. So there was talk or rumors in the Beltway that his coverage of this issue wasn't as hard as it could be, wasn't as hard news-oriented as it mm-hmm. could be. But for the most part, they've done an okay job.
And we can contrast that with Time magazine that published an issue last week with not one word about
right.
Kyle Sampson's testimony,
yeah.
which directly contradicts the attorney general,
yeah.
and the whole saga. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and you know, if you want to look at the mainstream news coverage of this particular issue, I've paid very close attention to it in terms of just mainstream news coverage. You know, the best coverage thus far has been the Washington Post. Of course, for your listeners who may be familiar with TPM Talking Points Memo, the mm-hmm. TPM muckraker, you know, they've done a bang-up job of really bringing this front and center to a national audience. But it's just very interesting when you see a story like this, which is competitive. It's a true, full-blown scandal, and how all the news organizations handle it. And again, just to get into some inside baseball, the Washington Post certainly has broken numerous stories with regard to this. And when that happens, what you usually see is you see there are some newspapers that would be willing to compete, but no one likes to get scooped. No one likes that, and what usually happens is you start to see, the other members of the media, you know, either downplay it or perhaps maybe not cover it as extensively as they should. So if there's an ownership to this story right now, I would say it would be, TPM muckraker.com mm-hmm. and the Washington Post. And, look, the New York Times certainly hasn't done, that they've done an okay job in terms of just at least covering the day-to-day news cycle in which this, the story itself. But, this is a story that calls for breaking news,
new
revelations.
And, Jason, one of the things that really bugs me is that I think that the testimony of Kyle Sampson was astounding and quite remarkable.
Well,
we had
a conversation last week in which you said that why don't they call it for what it is, or why don't they call Gonzalez, the media, that is, why don't they call Gonzalez,
you can use the L word, go ahead.
For lying.
Yeah.
We actually had that conversation, and after, a couple days later, he testified.
And his quotable line was that the Attorney General's statements were inaccurate.
Inaccurate, And again, that is, that is watering down what, a rose is a rose, as the old saying goes. And, it's just, I'm not quite sure. I really don't know if what the media is doing is trying to avoid the legal definition of lying. Obviously, that would have, implications for Gonzalez if, in fact, that was the case. But,
there's no liability on the part of the media in calling Gonzalez a liar.
Right.
He the facts are there to support the contention, if you will.
Yeah.
And he's a public figure, and they're talking about his statements under oath in public before the United States Senate Judiciary Committee.
Sure.
So there's no reckless disregard for the truth or some desire to slime him simply by using accurate language.
Yeah, and I totally agree, and I think that they should the people who are reporting this story should be a bit tougher. Certainly, when you have an attorney general who in the face of these documents that have been released that not only contradict him, but it looks like he knowingly lied. And he still refuses to acknowledge his part in this. I think that's when it's time to really, take the gloves off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the media is just being way too polite about this. And we see that this guy Stengel from Time magazine, Ari Melber of The Nation, wrote a good piece about that, and Media Matters has covered it as well. He has made repeated comments in public and on a blog.
Right.
That, you know, number one, he doesn't think this is a very important story. And number two, he basically thinks the Democrats run a risk of overplaying it. And excuse me, but those comments suggest that his news judgment is seriously impaired.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think that that is, again, it's if you look back, you know, you really need to trace the coverage of the administration back to, you know, post 9/11, talking mm-hmm. like immediately after 9/11, in which the media certainly didn't seem to mind, you know, writing stories that stated as fact that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. And when it obviously, you know, the evidence surfaced that, you know, our elected officials lied about it, again, it was just a situation where they didn't want to go there.
Yeah.
News coverage in general, especially this administration, changed dramatically after 9/11. And we're seeing, you know, the media have a little bit taken a tougher going after stories a little bit.
A little.
You know.
A little.
Being tough, but just, you know, barely.
Let's take a break. We'll return with Jason Leopold in just a moment. Talk with him more about what Alberto Gonzalez is doing here on his Easter recess. And if you think he's been crucified, do you think, to follow the metaphor, that he'll rise from the dead just in time for Easter Sunday? If you want to talk about it, give us a call now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Friday, 7:25 a.m.
I'm calling to register my disappointment in this decision that you made today to put the show on for 2 hours. It's barely listenable for 5 minutes, let alone 2 hours. I don't understand the thinking to take the show over an intelligent and funny, informative program such as Stephanie Miller or any of the other talk shows. I think it's a bad decision. You've lost me as a listener. I will now listen online to other stations.
End of messages. People try to put us to death. Just because we can get around.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
A very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the very latest, and let's start off with a problem working. Well, we're still getting a little bit of activity as our in Aptos Hills, Larkin Valley, southbound 1 at Larkin Valley Road. It still reports of a large box and a dolly, believe it or not, in the lanes of the off-ramp there. Let's see if CHP tells us something new here regarding a problem in Santa Cruz, northbound 17 at Paso Tiempo. We have a stalled Jeep that is blocking the roadway there. It's in the second lane from the left. Other than that, things looking pretty good around the area. No major stalls or accidents to tell you about. For the rest of 17, we're going to let you know that this report is in fact sponsored by Shell Fuels. Low quality gasolines can allow gunk to form inside your engine. Shell gasoline stops the gunky buildup. Shell, made to move. That's traffic on AM KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up right after the top of the hour, Melanie Sloan checks in from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. We continue now with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. And just during the break, Jason, I pulled up this story from the Associated Press that explains what Alberto Gonzalez is doing during the Easter break here.
Yeah, preparing for his appearance.
Well, he shelved plans for a family vacation, and he's busy learning his lines.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly, again, that seems that, he's certainly preparing to... respond to questions, obviously, which, I imagine that these would be pretty hard-hitting questions, and, have to get a story straight.
Right.
And I certainly think that this is going to be, quite a show. I cannot see how, Gonzalez is going to survive following this testimony, how he's going to be able to survive as Attorney General.
Now, some of the Republican senators want it to be moved up. The Senate actually has a briefer break than the House.
Right.
And so it's conceivable that right after Easter, as soon as next Monday or Tuesday,
right,
they could move up his appearance. Do you think he'll go along with that?
Well, first of all, I don't think that they're going to move it up at all. I think that part of the reason is that they want to keep the story alive.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer that they... I shouldn't say drag it out. I mean, first of all, this is the date that he, Gonzalez, had agreed to.
Right.
I believe that, both houses had, had asked him to come in earlier.
And well, here's a little more in the story. The Attorney General will get a preemptive shot to tell his side of the story on April 12th in a hearing on his department's 2008 budget. So that's not intended to be about these issues, but they expect
right.
that he'll make comments there.
Right. And again, I think that, pending the 17th, this is a story that will remain alive. Hopefully, speaking about the media, since we're on that topic, they'll stay on top of it. And as you know, the media, at least the mainstream media, has a tendency to... some reporting for a week or two and then just drop it. Just because the Congress is on their spring break, hopefully we'll continue to see some more hard-hitting stories. I mean, I actually think that some of the good stories, which I failed to mention earlier, that have been coming out have actually been in Legal Times, LegalTimes.com, which is obviously the legal newspaper, but just in terms of explaining some of that inside baseball that we may not have, people may not be familiar with, they've actually done a really good job explaining it in plain English. They actually put out a really good story on Monica Goodling,
mm-hmm.
who, by the way, has, told lawmakers that she intends to take the Fifth and still has her job.
Yeah.
and that is... seems unusual.
Well, you got to understand this, Jason. The reason she took the Fifth is because of the poison partisan atmosphere at the
right.
Judiciary Committee that will inevitably cause her to perjure herself.
Yeah. Well,
and so
she's got to
be protected from that.
I mean, if she's talking about poison partisan atmosphere, I certainly hope she's talking about the president, because he certainly has, has really turned, he's the one who has, in my opinion, has turned this into, a partisan issue. I think that when you see Republicans, and Democrats together, passing, stripping the Patriot Act of that amendment,
mm-hmm.
and it passes overwhelmingly, that's not a partisan issue.
Right.
This is something that, both camps are equally disturbed about.
And that's the amendment to the Patriot Act that was snuck in by an operative, and
right.
it permitted the Attorney General to appoint U.S. attorneys without
yeah.
Senate confirmation.
Yeah.
Jason, last week when we were talking, your investigation revealed the use of these non-official email addresses,
right.
many linked to Republican National Committee websites.
Right.
And when I was talking with Melanie Sloan just about 10 minutes later, I just on a whim decided to see if Karl Rove had a secret email address at gwb43.com. So I fired off an email to turdblossom
yeah.
at gwb43.com.
Yeah.
And at first, I was kind of holding my breath because, you know, Mailer Daymon didn't kick it back.
Right.
And I thought, oh, my God, maybe I've actually stumbled on it. But fortunately, it took about 45 minutes, and finally Mailer Daymon acknowledged that there wasn't one. And then you published that there's actually just a simple KR at GWB43.
Right.
That was one of the email addresses he was using.
Yeah.
Do you think ultimately this will become a significant issue?
I think it actually will. And, you know, you're talking about Melanie Sloan of Crew. I think that Crew has certainly, applied pressure as well, and or at least raised the awareness of the fact that, you know, these outside email accounts, the ones maintained by the Republican National Committee, has legs. You know, it has legs and tentacles, if you will, that, you know, stretch into other areas. You know, we see that with the Jack Abramoff scandal, which Henry Waxman had highlighted his letters to the RNC, requesting that they preserve, these emails, the ones that were sent by White House officials. I think that this will absolutely. I think that that's the underlying scandal. That's sort of the growth, the outgrowth of the Attorney General the Attorney General firings is the fact that what we're going to see. We're going to soon find out that, you know, these White House officials have been communicating with, about possibly investigations, and, you know, what they knew and when they knew it, or what they knew and when they knew it, regarding, hot button issues. And when it came time for Congress to look into it, or even Democrats to look into it, they could not find the email simply because.
Jason. In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Those 15 British sailors captured by Iran might be freed within days. National Security Correspondent David Martin has a CBS News exclusive.
U.S. officials tell CBS News that Great Britain and Iran have exchanged diplomatic documents which outline the terms of a deal for the release of the sailors. And according to these officials, Great Britain would say it regrets the incident and would make sure it never happens again, but would not admit they had violated territorial waters. In return, of course, they would gain the release of the 15 British sailors.
Publicly, Britain is calling for direct talks to resolve the standoff. Prime Minister Tony Blair says this is a very critical time. President Bush is impatient. He says new funding for the war in Iraq is needed within weeks, but he can't sign the bills passed by Congress so far. CBS News correspondent Bill Plant reports.
Both houses have passed bills authorizing more than $120 billion in emergency funding for troop operations in Afghanistan and Iraq. But both bills also call for most troops to be withdrawn by late next year. The president blasted that as irresponsible.
If they want to play politics, fine. They ought to get the bill to my desk as quickly as possible, and I'll veto it. And then we can get out of the business of funding our troops without strings and without withdrawal dates.
The president argued once again that his troop surge, still less than half complete, must be given a chance.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says Mr. Bush has to work with the Democrats.
He should become in tune with the fact that he is president of the United States, not king of the United States. And he has another branch of government, namely the legislative branch of government, that he has to deal with.
Keep those cell phones off in flight. The Federal Communications Commission says there's not enough technical information on whether wireless devices cause interference with networks on the ground, so it's rejecting a proposal that would have allowed passengers to chat at 35,000 feet. Joe Farron is spokesman for CTIA, a wireless industry trade group.
Sometime down the road, there will be future tests to see if the interference issue can be solved. But I think for the time being, the ban's going to stay in place, and we're certainly supportive of that.
At the University of Florida today, the Gators got a hero's welcome home after winning their second straight NCAA men's basketball championship. If they go for a three-peat, it might be without coach Billy Donovan. He's reportedly mulling a job offer from Kentucky. A diabetic bodybuilder who won the Mr. Natural Universe title faces charges of assault and resisting arrest after a run-in with police who mistakenly thought he was drunk. Police in Redwood City, California say Doug Burns lunged at an officer, pushing him to the ground, but tests show he was having a diabetic reaction. The Dow up 128 points today. This is CBS News.
Get the good stuff.
Here's something to think about. Engines with over 75,000 miles on them can burn oil, shortening their life. Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil has added ingredients to condition seals that can help extend the life of your engine. Right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil for only $2.99 per quart. And check out our great prices on other Castrol motor oils. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Running out of ink? Run into Office Depot. Office Depot has all the ink, toner, and fax supplies your business needs, guaranteed in-store or online at low prices. Save more by recycling empty ink and toner cartridges at Office Depot. Don't risk running out of ink and setting your business back. Let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Oh, Office Depot.
Not valid in Alaska and Hawaii. See store for details.
A car of any color can be green, but in the latest rankings from an environmental group, Japanese cars come out the greenest of them all.
Number one is Honda, but Toyota is not far behind on this scale of environmentally friendly car companies. Don McKenzie of the Union of Concerned Scientists says the reason is consistency.
Any company can build one green model, but what really counts is when a company makes its most popular models greener.
He offered praise to Toyota for making its Prius a top seller. Detroit's big three, though, are at the bottom of the list.
Daimler Chrysler's last place finish earns it our Rusty Tailpipe Award.
He ranked Ford as the greenest American car maker. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Green apparently translates into green in terms of profits. The Japanese carmakers had strong U.S. sales in March. Toyota led with a gain of nearly 12%, but the big three U.S. automakers all had sales declines. Ford was down 9%. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time, high-quality, professional-looking documents. Our design print and ship depot can print almost anything and ship it almost anywhere. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot!
You put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries, Wednesday's perfect to unwind.
Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this Wednesday with Outback's new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill. Tender chicken, jumbo shrimp, and your choice of a juicy sirloin or New Zealand lamb chops.
Let's go out back tonight.
The new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill.
Start your weekend 2 days early.
Wednesday, the new Saturday.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
Yes, in Peter B.'s America, Alberto Gonzalez has taken time off from his family so he can spend more time figuring out what he's going to tell the Senate. Coming up later this hour, we're going to meet Joshua Myers. He was caught up in the case that sent Joshua Wolf. Wait a minute, I got my names wrong here. Gabriel Myers is the guy we're going to talk to, and he got caught up in the case that sent Josh Wolf to a federal prison for 7.5 months. Josh Wolf, a journalist and blogger in San Francisco, was released from federal custody today. We'll talk about that coming up later this hour.
New thing, new thing.
Ah, but first, it's time for our weekly update on corruption in Washington and other capitals around the nation. Melanie Sloan joins us from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
Good to talk to you. How are you doing today?
Excellent. How about you?
Not too bad. I'm just admiring your newly revamped website at citizensforethics.org.
It looks good, doesn't it?
It really does. Styling and easy to read. And all the information's right here. Yeah, got more photos. Let me just ask you, what happens when I click on FOIA Document Review System?
Oh, this is something we're so proud of. This is a system under which all the, you know, most of what CREW does, although you and I don't talk about it that much, is a lot of our work is getting government documents through Freedom of Information Act requests. And we're now taking all of those documents that we get, scanning them, and putting them into this new FOIA document review system. So all the government documents we get come in and are on this system, and they are now searchable by any member of the public who signs up and taggable. So people can around the country can help us review documents and tag them, making notes on what might be important. This is particularly helpful on something like we have a FOIA about global warming documents, and we're not the best experts on global warming, so other people might read those documents and recognize, hey, you know, there's really some smoking gun in there. You, CREW, just might, you know, need our help to figure out what it is.
But empowering citizens? I mean, isn't that dangerous?
Only if you're the Bush administration.
All right. Now, let's go to the Capitol where they wish that, you know, what happens in Carson City would stay in Carson City. We have the case of the new governor of Nevada, a fellow named Jim Gibbons, and he's got ethical challenges on multiple fronts.
This is such an incredible story that although we usually focus our efforts just on corruption in Washington, we feel that we can't leave this one alone. And I will say that a lot of Mr. Gibbons' problems started when he was a member of Congress. As so many members of Congress, he was in fact trading appropriations for gifts. Now, very few members have as much incriminating evidence, though, against them as Mr. Gibbons, who, by the way, is now under grand jury investigation, yet another politician under investigation, and subpoenas have been issued. But there are two big deals that have gone on. One involves something called eTrepid Technologies, and the former top official for eTrepid has given lots of gifts to Mr. Gibbons and his wife in return for numerous appropriations when Mr. Gibbons was a congressman.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite part of that story, though, is all the emails. In September of 2003, after Mr. Gibbons had been particularly helpful to eTrepid, an executive wrote, Jim, and that's Jim Gibbons, really hit the ground running on that one. We need to take care of him like we discussed. And then in another email, one of his partners was more explicit and said, when Mr. Gibbons and his wife went on a cruise with the head of eTrepid and his wife, they said, please don't forget to bring the money you promised Jim and Don, referring to the, Mr. and Mrs. Gibbons.
Now, did they keep any cash in a freezer?
No cash in a freezer, but cash in email is pretty bad. And minutes later, the head of the organization of eTrepid responds, don't ever send me a message like that again. Erase this from your computer right now. And it turns out that he gave over $90,000 in campaign contributions to Mr. Gibbons, as well as private flights and cruises and all sorts of other gifts. So that looks bad.
Now, he's hired Abby Lowell, who's a high-powered Washington criminal defense attorney, who most recently was on the Abramoff team, right?
That's right, and apparently that's exactly where he found his name. But, of course, Abramoff's going to jail, so maybe that is a lesson. But I want to just add another little facet to the story, because that's not all.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, the wife of Mr. Gibbons, which is Dawn Gibbons, had recently received about $35,000 in consulting fees, and that was actually in 2004, from Sierra Nevada Corporation, which is another corporation that Mr. Gibbons was getting contracts for at the exact same time Don Gibbons was getting a $35,000 in consulting fees. So that's something we also have seen before. Trading contracts for financial benefits to one's spouse or other family members.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this is just such a pattern that looks so bad for Mr. Gibbons that it would just be shocking to me if we don't see him indicted in the near future.
And you've been so generous, Melanie. You didn't even mention the sexual assault case while he was a candidate.
Right, that was a sexual assault case against a showgirl in Las Vegas, and that was dropped because the prosecutors seemed not to want to go after Mr. Gibbons. And, you know, that's sort of another interesting part of this. Part of the reason some of this has come out, the scandal involving eTrepid, is because eTrepid was involved in a business deal with another company that went bad. And when that business deal went bad, the FBI raided the home of the opposition in the deal's home. And that, and a federal judge recently threw out the search, saying that it was an invalid search and that it appeared to have been done because of Mr. Gibbons' ties. So Mr. Gibbons was able to use local prosecutors and the FBI to go after his close friend, the head of eTrepid's business opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty shocking.
Well, now, how do you get a sexual assault case dropped? I mean, you know, California's Governor Schwarzenegger was accused of groping women when he was first running in the recall a few years back, 2005, or 4, it was 04. But, you know, that was kind of treated as ancient history. He said, she said, and ultimately nothing occurred. But this case was, I believe, reported to police. And he was accused of assaulting her in a parking garage after they had had a couple of drinks in a restaurant. Is he so powerful that he could make this go away?
Apparently he is. They dropped that prosecution for, quote, insufficient evidence. But, you know, I'm not surprised he could make that go away if he could also get the FBI to raid the house, really, of the opposition to his business partner.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty appalling stuff. But I think all of this is going to come out in the wash, and we're going to hear more about all of it in the coming months.
And I'm just fishing here, but was there any notion that the election was rigged in Nevada? Because he was running against one of Jimmy Carter's kids, right?
I think that's right. I haven't heard that the election was rigged. He won by a very close margin, and I will say that they're already talking about a recall campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And even Republicans are feeling loath to defend Jim Gibbons right now because it looks so bad for him. His approval ratings are in the low 20s.
Yeah.
For a brand-new governor, you can't really do worse than that.
Mm-hmm. You're right. He won with less than a majority, 48% of the vote. So that you know, theoretically does make him vulnerable to a recall. And given the problems that have cropped up before and now since he's taken office, it could be hard for him to hold on. Well, keep us posted on this one, Melanie. It's interesting.
It is. It's a good story, perhaps only in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Well, and maybe he's just dying to get out of Carson City. If you've ever been there, that's the state capital. It's near Reno. And it's like a Motel 6 in terms of state capitals.
Well, I think the grand jury may help him out with that then.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Melanie.
My pleasure.
Melanie Sloan at Crew. Visit their new updated website, Citizens for Ethics, citizensforethics.org. A lot of great information there. And the FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act searchable database, that's a real great feature. So check that out next time you want more government information. We're going to take a break here and open up the phone lines. Your free speech zone is in full effect here. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And we're going to fight for the free speech rights of blogger and journalist Josh Wolf. We'll talk to Gabriel Myers coming up in 20 minutes or so. But in the meantime, give me a call. Let me know what's on your mind. 888-5-PETER-B. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Traffic in the area. Let's take a look at the latest. And we're going to mention a problem in Monterey, northbound on 1, just after Mundras. It's a two-vehicle crash blocking the left lane. Minor injury reported there. Aptos, we're going to take a look at Highway 1 southbound after Soquel. It is a solo spin-out crash. It is off to the right shoulder, so heads up for this particular problem. Then we're going to take a look at Highway 17. Looks like everything moving well there. No major stalls or accident. Eastbound 25, a little bit slow from Gilroy to Hollister, but just in pockets. Things moving pretty good for the most part. And the support is brought to you by Pacific Gas and Electric. The people at Pacific Gas and Electric working hard to provide the tools to help you manage energy use and your bill.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm still your humble host, Peter B. My lines are open for you right now. Three lines available on the switchboard. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. As we mentioned, we'll give some free speech rights to Gabriel Myers coming up after the next break. Give him a few minutes to comment on the release of Josh Wolf. I'm delighted to see that. I think the road to hell is paved with federal intervention in local disputes.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
And for some Americans, the road to hell starts with an internet message that says, "Hey, I'm in Nigeria, and could you hold on to some cash for me?" According to a study, Americans were fleeced for almost $200 million via internet fraud in 2006, and the leading scam is the Nigerian 419 scam. And just as I pulled this article, I go to my email at peterbcollins.com, and here's a note from the Office of the President, Nigerian Investigation Department, Anti-Fraud Unit in Lagos, Nigeria. And they're warning me to be careful about scam artists who are contacting me in respect of the collection of your fund in the total sum of $15 million U.S. dollars that was long approved in your favor through the bank. I mean, this is such a crock, and I can't believe that Americans permitted themselves to be fleeced for almost $200 million last year. couple of activist alerts for you. Got an email today from Mark Crispin Miller. He teaches at NYU, and he's passing along an online petition calling on the U.S. Senate to filibuster and end the war in Iraq. We, the undersigned, call on each and every United States senator to participate in a filibuster to end the war. It takes only 41 votes to sustain a filibuster and prevent funding requests from the Bush administration from coming to debate or a vote. If you want to check it out, filibusterforpeace.org. And filibuster only has one L. I'll give you that hint. filibusterforpeace.org. And we mentioned this with Norman Solomon an hour ago. Common Cause is asking you to send a message to the FCC opposing the continuation of a waiver for the Tribune Company, which has just been taken over by this Sam Zell, a breakup artist, to end the waiver that permits them to own a newspaper and a television station in Los Angeles. And so if you want to check that out, go to commoncause.org. Dave joins us from Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Well, humble host, I haven't chatted with you in a few days, so I thought I would make up for that and update you on how our vigil's been going with Congressman Mike Thompson up here.
Tell me.
Well, he's been up here in the district, and so we shifted from just our Monday morning demonstrations to a daily one. And incidentally, the door now at the congressman's Eureka office is locked, and you have to knock on it. And if they recognize us as one of the demonstrators, we're not welcome in.
I see.
So other people that are new and not been known to sit in the office are invited in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're getting an awful lot of people saying, I really want to see us out of this war as soon as possible. So Mike Thompson, like several Democratic congressmen across the country, is saying very forcefully, I want to get us out of this war as soon as possible. But that's not what we're seeing. You know, the bill that they've given that the president's still claiming he's going to veto has so many loopholes, they could be there for literally forever, you know.
Well, it is very open-ended, and when you imagine a conference committee merging the House bill with the Senate bill, you know that any teeth will be extracted.
Or at least filed down real bad.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I would say, Dave, I share your view, but I find it interesting that the Democrats appear to be gaining strength behind a fairly weak hand legislatively. And this move yesterday was a positive surprise. Harry Reid joining Russ Feingold in pushing a bill that is, you know, much less attractive than the one the president says he will veto. Now, they got to get it through the Senate, and they got to get it past Joey Lieberman, and that's not going to be easy. But I give them credit that given what they have to work with, they're playing it as strongly as they can.
The most important thing of everything, as you know for me, is that we get rid of these riggable voting machines and have an honest election.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see an altogether different White House and Congress if that ever happens.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. All right, now to Brian in New Hampshire, Manchester. Hello, Brian.
Hi. Yeah, and here to that gentleman's last comment there. He's absolutely right about that. The mathematics are on my side, not politics. But I was going to say about the President Bush's, when he's speaking today about the appropriations for Iraq,
right.
Does anybody in the press corps there, did anybody in the sheeple gathered there, that they mentioned that our own military says that including President Bush's surge, our military is supplied at least through July 2007, even if this bill doesn't go through tomorrow? Did anybody bring that up with President Bush?
You know, I've only heard sound bites on the hourly news of Bush's remarks, so I don't know what the interchanges were like, Brian.
Yeah, and I also, regarding the so-called hostage crisis with Iran and the 15 British military personnel,
yeah.
Remember January 10th, 2007, President Bush, he sent the U.S. Army forces in to attack the inviolate foreign diplomatic mission of the Iranians in northern Iraq. It's legally, all the international law experts that were interviewed at that time, they said that that's in Iranian territory under international law, and those five people have not been released yet. Why has the United Nations not been up in arms about that? Because they're our lapdog, or why is the 15 British captives in Iran, why are they have value, but the five Iranians that were illegally imprisoned, I'd say they both were illegal kidnappings almost, you could call them. both parties. I think I believe this, the British, when they say they were in the Iraqi waters. But nonetheless, I think that what happened with this Iranian embassy in northern Iraq was a similar type of event. This may be even payback.
Well, maybe you should print up some T-shirts, Brian. Free the Herbal Five.
And it's,
and it doesn't have anything to do with herbs. It's the town of Herbal where they were taken.
Also, Peter, you know, they're saying that the reason they're being so bellicose, Tony Blair himself, because I think he feels at least subconsciously some guilt about Britain's involvement in this Iraq war, and they're trying to do this peacefully. And I think that's a good sign. There's some news story from the Globe and Mail or something, like one of those British newspapers, that some British government officials feel they're being undermined in this by the American government, that they still want to, you know, they want the next field of battle, I guess, to be Iran.
Yeah, they want some blood. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. Now to Donna in Big Sur. Hey, Donna, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
How you doing?
I'm still here.
Oh, so am I.
And so are all of our Big Sur people. We're all listening to you.
Well,
okay,
good.
I just wanted to remind you of that.
Well, I'm glad to hear from Big Sur.
We are listening to you every day.
One of the most beautiful locations along the California coast.
Yes, and actually, you know, one of the things that's going on is that all of us are so disturbed about what's going on in the national arena of the war and everything. We really are. But we have a situation going on here, too, where federal government is trying to take over everybody's land here.
Ryan, I want to talk with you more. I got to take a break here, and they won't let me stop. But you hold on. We'll come back to you, Donna, okay?
Yeah.
Thanks. More in a moment. You can dial in at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
It's time to start talking about the 2008 presidential elections. Here, Monday nights between 10 and 11 p.m. with your host, me, Todd Hurlbert, Alan Vasquez, and our show, The Week in Politics. We will talk about and talk with the Democratic and Republican candidates for the presidential election. Please join us in our effort to educate our audience about the issues. See you there.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, and we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This is your free speech zone. My lines are open if you'd like to comment any issue, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice at 888-5-PETER-B.
As I was walking, opening up highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made.
Josh Wolf has been freed from the federal pen. We'll get more on that story in just a moment. But we need to complete our conversation with Donna in Big Sur. Go ahead, Donna. What were you going to tell us about?
Hey, I'll be real quick.
Yeah.
You know, we've been hanging on with you throughout all this amazing, crazy insanity that's going on in Iran and Iraq, okay?
Yeah.
We've all got opinions about that. But we are also facing in our own area some amazing takeover federal government. They are trying to actually take over this whole coast and turn it into another national park.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of us who are private property owners who have kept it this way forever for people to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to watch all the, it's almost like a huge, I'm trying to think of the word. I can't think of the word right now, but it's like this huge thing going on between the consciousness of the destruction of Iraq and possibly Iran and everything else. And meanwhile, they're tearing apart and trying to take over why they do this, you know, the coastlands to produce a, what they call, a public entity, which has nothing to do with that, really. It's all to do about resources and water and oil and all that. Anyway.
So, Donna, these people who want to squeeze out private landowners, is this for resource extraction?
Yes.
So it's not to expand the national parks so that I can go camping.
Right.
It's to make America safe for big oil and big timber.
Exactly.
I see. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, listen, keep me posted on that. And, you know, when it reaches a point that putting a segment on the show would help people understand more or perhaps advance your advocacy interests, you let me know. I'll be happy to help you out.
I will. Actually, I'll email you.
Very good.
All right.
All right. My email, by the way, is peter@peterbcollins.com. How easy can it be? Joining us now is Gabriel Myers. He was there on the scene in the Mission District of San Francisco in the summer of 2005 at the incident that led to the incredible 7.5-month incarceration of Josh Wolf. Josh was released from the federal institution at Pleasanton, California today after cutting a deal with the prosecutors. Gabe Myers, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Tell me how you feel that Josh is finally a free man.
Oh, it feels really good. You know, it's good news to get that email today. And it's a pretty good surprise. I thought maybe the mediation was going to go like it did last time.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Have you ever had any contact with Josh? Do you guys know each other?
I just met Josh through all this.
Okay, so You were just a citizen who decided to attend the protest, and you carried a sign that day made out of styrofoam that read, "From Scotland to SF, our resistance is global." Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And describe what happened, because based on the news accounts that I've read, you were the victim of a couple of police officers who drove their car into the crowd, and you barely escaped being hit by that police car. Am I right?
That's absolutely right, and that's exactly how the whole incident started. And the sad thing to say about this is that there's been nothing done about either of these police officers. And if you ask me, I was nearly run over, as well as about 29 other people that night. And, you know, and this really kind of hasn't just been coming out, and at least until now, and it's been ridiculous, you know, with Josh being in jail for this long, and this big investigation going on, and yet they're turning a blind eye, in my opinion, to some very outrageous criminal conduct by people who are supposed to be police officers, and they're supposed to uphold very sacred laws, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They're nearly broken that night.
Well, Gabe, I'm a little older than you, and this will indicate it to you, but back in the in 1968, the summer of 68, the Democrats held their convention in Chicago, and anti-war protesters came to express themselves, and it was the Students for a Democratic Society, and by all accounts, they were very aggressive, and in some cases, certainly intentionally broke the law. But the mayor of Chicago, Boss Daley, was prone to what they call malaprops. He's trying to say one thing, and then he kind of blurts out the truth. And his comment, famously quoted years later, was, "The police are here to preserve disorder." And that's what comes to mind when I hear about this incident. There you are with a styrofoam sign. Now, to my knowledge, styrofoam is not capable of weapons grade, no matter, you know, how much of it you glue together. And so you pose no threat to these police officers, but they essentially drove their squad car into this crowd of protesters. You were able to peel yourself away, but your sign ended up under the police car. Is that right?
Yes, I was carrying the sign at the time when they drove into the crowd. I was part of the crowd carrying the sign, and when they did, I wanted to get out of the way of the car, and I didn't want to get run over, so I let go of the sign and ran out of the road, and when I did, it fell on the ground right underneath the wheels, just to give you an idea of how close this particular police car was to me. And, I mean, I was very close to being run over.
Mm-hmm.
And I would approximate that he's driving this crowd at least about 25 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you dodged the police car, and then it appears that the officers perceive that as you trying to flee. So one of the cops jumps out of the car and runs after you, tackles you, and puts you in a chokehold. Is this all correct?
Yes, it was.
And the cop who grabbed you was from the police car that almost hit you?
Yes, it was. He was riding in the passenger side.
Okay. And so then, according to the San Francisco Chronicle account, there were people in the crowd there urging this cop to let up on you because you were having trouble breathing.
Yes. If you watch the Josh Wolf video, you can see me being arrested by this police officer and this crowd standing around, and you can hear one of the things that they're saying is, "Stop choking him, stop choking him." He was holding on this ground in this chokehold, and there's also a very kind of become kind of an infamous picture of me now that's kind of been on indiebay.org, which is an activist-oriented media site,
mm-hmm.
of me in this chokehold with my face turning very brightly colored red, showing that I'm obviously being asphyxiated, and so.
And did you have any serious injuries from this police inflicted brutality?
Not that I had to be hospitalized for, but I was being very choked very hard while I was on the ground. When you tackle me to the ground, half of this chokehold, I was having a very hard time breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And very lightheaded.
So from there, Gabe, what it gets a little confusing based on various accounts, but it appears that the cop who was driving the car got out and somehow, you know, was swallowed up by the crowd, or maybe people attacked him, but he was injured and suffered a fractured skull.
That's right.
And today, in the court appearance where Josh Wolf was freed, he agreed to supply, to post the full video on his website, to supply a copy to the prosecutors, and then he also was told that they will not insist that he testify, but he had to answer a couple of questions. And the questions he answered, he said, "I don't know. I don't know how the car caught fire, and I don't know how Officer Peter Shields was hit from behind and suffered a fractured skull." So Josh Wolf spent 7.5 months in jail on what is a real stretch, because under California law, they couldn't lock him up to demand the videotape. So they called it a federal case. Now, they had to stretch everything to claim that, you know, a fire and on a police car and an injury to a San Francisco police officer is somehow a federal matter. But that's what they did in order to lock Josh Wolf up in a federal pen and to take him to a federal court. Now, this is a tremendous overreach by law enforcement, in my opinion, and it shows that cops are special. When a cop gets injured or a police car is burned in this case, somehow that becomes, exponentially hyped out of its true, the true sense of the crime that's committed. It's not that big a deal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, this whole thing has been stretched far thin to basically, in my opinion, just to go on a witch hunt for people because of their political beliefs. And I think they've kind of misappropriated this whole incident, this attack on this police officer, and this arson, if it even did occur, to just go after people and violate people's rights wherever you want. And Josh Wolf is a prime example of that. And, you know, that's right. He was in prison for all this time, and the whole time was just because they wanted to get information from him that he didn't even know anything about. You know, basically, it was just a matter of the government kind of wanting to have this power play with him, and they wanted to say, we're going to violate your rights here, even though you're supposed to be protected, and we're going to go so far as to, get the federal government involved, and just to go around this law.
Well, and Gabe, David Green, one of Josh Wolf's lawyers, is quoted by the Chronicle at their website today, saying that Josh Wolf offered to turn over his video outtakes last November. That's after he'd been in custody for about 3.5 or 4 months, and the prosecutors turned him down.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's just, to me, it's just a matter of, hey, we want to exhibit our levels of oppression on you, we'll keep you in jail, even though that a couple months down later we'll accept the same thing and let you out.
Yeah. Gabe Myers, what do you take away from all this? You spent 9 days in jail yourself.
Yeah, I was in jail for a little bit.
And what did they convict you of? An assault by a police officer?
No, I wasn't actually convicted of anything. And the whole thing about my case is that they dropped all the charges on the eve of my trial after 15 months of making me come back to court and court and court. And
it cost you your job?
Yeah, I was working as a caregiver, working with the disabled at the time, and because of my 9-day incarceration, I couldn't show up for work,
mm-hmm.
So I lost my job.
Yeah.
And
tell our listeners, you know, what you've learned from this.
Well, what I've learned from this is that if you think you have rights in this country, you better think again, because if you get caught up in the wrong place in the wrong time, which I feel that I did, and I feel that Josh did, you can end up with nothing, and that's almost what happened to me. I believe that I was just basically just being harassed through the court system and being scapegoated for past 15 months, just to have my charges dropped right at the end. And basically they've just been upset because they don't have this person who hit this cop, and they kind of had some political fallout from him, and they made him look bad, and they were angry, and they wanted a scapegoat, so they kind of harassed me, even though they knew my whole case was BS from the beginning. I mean, I was being charged with trying to lynch myself, even though, and this is all coming from this police officer who was photographed choking me, and he's all, and this is all stemming, this charge is always being coming from because he alleged that I said, help me, while he was choking me. I mean, and that was supposed to be a felony.
So that was a call to the crowd to lynch the officer?
That's how what he said.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
And do we have any recorded history of a self-lynching?
Well, you know, it was a really rare thing, and there's only one other case on point when I went that I found out about going through this whole thing. And, I mean, it's really weird, you know. It's... It was just, I mean, this whole thing has been kind of a very surreal experience.
Yeah.
And, but,
Well, Gabe Myers, I'm out of time here, but thank you for talking with us today.
Right.
And, I appreciate your courage, and thanks for expressing yourself there in July of 2005. You spoke for a lot of us.
Thank you. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
You bet. That's Gabe Myers. Josh Wolf, freed from prison today after making a deal with the prosecutors. We'll continue here in the Free Speech Zone. On the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Greetings, everybody. Let's take a look at the latest and start off with a problem reported in. Well, it's Optos. It's a southbound one after Soquel. A solo spinout still reported on the right shoulder. Also looking at Monterey, northbound one after Mondras. A two-vehicle crash was blocking the left lane. Minor injuries reported. Looks like everything pretty much wrapped up there, which is some good news. Anything else going on? Well, I can tell you that it's... Well, no, it's pretty quiet, except we're going to mention that Santa Cruz, northbound 1, the ramp to the on-ramp to Emmaline, the off-ramp shut down 24 hours a day for scheduled road work. By the way, Highway 17, no major stalls or accident. This report brought to you by Disney's Channel's Deadliest Catch. It's the men and women who risk it all in the hunt for the Alaskan crab, and this year will be the roughest season yet. Deadliest Catch Season 3 premieres tonight at 9 p.m. on Discovery Channel.
Easy to see, people everywhere just wanna be free. Listen, people, listen.
Wilson, that's the way it should be. Deep in the valley.
Josh Wolf's got to be free. We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's a happy ending that Josh Wolf is no longer incarcerated. But, and to be fair, he didn't have to make a deal as bad as David Hicks did to get out of Guantanamo. But you see the long arm of federal prosecution. And it's really just sickening that our court system was used to abuse people like Gabe Myers and Josh Wolf. And for what? His videotape didn't have any useful evidence on it. Jake's on the line from Arcata. Thanks for holding, Jake.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Doing okay today. I'm feeling better with Josh Wolf out.
Yeah, that's great to hear. You know, it's unfortunate that some of our so-called peace officers are anything but, you know, this guy's going to run into a crowd, this cop, and, you know, basically assault people for no reason. You know, it's sad, but a lot of these cops are hotheads, unfortunately, and they give the police force a bad name.
Yeah, and I want to be clear, there are a lot of great cops, and there are a lot of people who sacrifice to be law enforcement officials, and some of them do it so that a slot is taken that a hothead might otherwise have been hired for.
Well, that's right. And unfortunately, we see, you know, lately, especially looking in San Francisco with a lot of the incidents with the cops there. You remember the video that the cops did down there where they even showed, them joking about running over a homeless person? You know?
Yeah, that was
beautiful. But I'd like to get on to the other issue of the day. Alberto Gonzalez and the Justice Department.
Mm-hmm.
Here they are. They fired these attorneys clearly for political reasons. We all know Alberto Gonzalez is attorney general in the first place. He's a political hack. He's Bush's lawyer, White House lawyer. He was the guy who put in, the torture provisions. How did this guy ever get allowed into the office of attorney general in the first place is really something we need to look at, because there were some Democrats that did go along with it. And, I think they need to be taken to task for it. As a Democrat, I say that because some of these people that were put into positions, even though the Republicans controlled Congress, they should have been filibustered. I mean, there should have been some way of keeping Alberto Gonzalez out of that position. He was never qualified in the first place, Peter.
Well, Jake, you make a very important point. And even in the minority, when the Democrats in the Senate didn't have the votes to stop some of these nominations, they could have filibustered at least on key ones, and at minimum, they could have voted against them. How many Democrats voted for Condoleezza Rice when she failed as national security advisor and got promoted to Secretary of State? We had all these people who voted for Alito, these people who voted for Robert Gates as defense secretary, you know, just last December. And they appear to feel that they can confirm these people and have no real responsibility for their failures in the offices they've been confirmed for. And so, yeah, we can't just give a pass to Democrats in the Senate because they have blessed or at least gotten out of the way of every damn one of these bad appointments by Bush.
Well, you're right. Look at Roberts. Look at Alito. Just go down the line. Look at all these Democrats in the Senate, these so-called moderates who are in fact conservatives. They basically capitulated and went along with whatever Bush wanted. So now look at what we got. We have to blame the bipartisan consensus in Washington, D.C., and there is one. There's a conservative bipartisan consensus with the blue dogs, you know, from the Democratic side, you know, basically lining up with the Republicans on a lot of these issues, and a lot of these appointments went through because the blue dogs went along. And let's be very blunt about this. Monica Goodling, the liaison between Gonzalez and the White House, She is taking the fifth for one reason, and one reason alone. We all know what it is. She's covering up criminal activity. So let's get down to the bottom of what they were doing. And if we can't impeach Bush or Cheney right now, you know what, I'd be willing to start with Gonzalez.
Well, and I also think that they should just bypass this whole Fifth Amendment bogus argument. Give her immunity, because I don't care if she gets convicted. I want Gonzalez, and I want Kyle Sampson, and I want Karl Rove.
Right.
And so give her immunity and let her sing. But to torture the Fifth Amendment in the manner that she is proposing is something that should be flatly rejected, and I think Leahy will do that.
That's right. And another issue, too. Kyle Sampson, I'm just going to throw this out there. You know, he did throw Gonzalez under the bus by admitting that Gonzalez was in there for those conversations about which attorneys would be fired. But he did cover Karl Rosebud. And my question is, could it possibly be because Kyle Sampson is Karl Rove's biological child? I mean, have you noticed the similarity? It is startling. They look almost exactly alike.
I think
one's an older version of the other.
Separated at birth, yeah.
Yeah, you never know.
All right, Jake, thank you. Now to Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Thanks for your call, Joe. You're on the air.
Well, the fact that these political prisoners are—I guess they're actually allowed to live down there at the Gitmo down there in Cuba. With the new term for guys like Alberto Gonzalez and President Bush, instead of compassionate conservative, should the term be compassionate fascist? Because are these guys actually compassionate fascists? Because a term like that makes just as much sense as the term compassionate conservative. These politicians come up with these stupid terms all the time, and nobody ever bothers to figure out what they mean.
Yeah. Well, Joe, I want you to know that I do not shy away from the F word. I believe that we are embracing fascist policies. Josh Wolf is just one significant example of that. But the police state that has been evolved after the Patriot Act and around the fear-mongering from 9/11 and the war in Iraq, these are dark days in our nation. And I hope that people who listen to this program and others will really wake up and recognize that our basic form of government is at risk. Our freedoms are at risk. They're trying to distract us with, fearful statements and depictions of other people like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. But what they're really doing is stripping us of our rights and our freedoms. And I hope people will remain vigilant about that. Joe, thanks for your call. I got to run because Trigger's here. And
hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush says Democratic leaders in Congress are being irresponsible by delaying funds for the war in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Mark Nolan reports on today's Rose Garden news conference.
Trying to turn up the political pressure on Congress, President Bush says U.S. troops will pay the price if he doesn't get an Iraq funding bill he can sign.
Congress's failure to fund our troops on the front lines will mean that some of our military families could wait longer for their loved ones to return from the front lines. And others can see their loved ones headed back to the war sooner than they need to.
Mr. Bush says congressional Democrats are playing politics by sticking to a bill with a timetable and deadline for U.S. withdrawal from Iraq. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Progress in the standoff between Britain and Iran over those 15 captured sailors. CBS News national security correspondent David Martin reports they've exchanged documents outlining the terms of a deal.
In return for release of the sailors, the British government would say it regrets the incident and will make sure it doesn't happen again, but would not admit its sailors violated Iranian waters. Britain's prime minister sounds like a man who thinks a deal is near.
This is a very critical time, and the most important thing is that we get our people back safe and sound.
But Britain's foreign minister cautioned against assuming the standoff will end quickly, and U.S. officials warn hardliners in Iran could still undo the deal.
Thanks to the Federal Communications Commission, we'll be spared this sound in flight.
Passengers aren't allowed to use cell phones while planes are in the air, and the FCC has decided to keep it that way, ruling that there isn't enough data to say for sure that wireless transmissions don't cause interference. The hurricane experts at Colorado State University predict some rough weather ahead, even though their forecast was way off last year. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the story.
Season turned out to be less than expected.
We thought we'd have an above average year last year. Actually, last year was slightly below average, and nobody expected the El Nino to come in.
But Colorado State forecaster Dr. William Gray says this year will be above average for activity, with a 74% chance of a major storm hitting the U.S. Gray's forecasting team is predicting 17 named storms, 9 hurricanes, and 5 major hurricanes. The Atlantic season begins June 1st.